judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action for the righteous judge shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for the Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist, and please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please be with us as we enter into your word. Bless us with understanding and help us to explain ourselves properly, that people may learn the truth and that they may know the position they should occupy before you. These mercies we ask of you, and thank you for hearing us and blessing us through Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, today we want to talk about the secret rapture. The secret rapture. Our actual study deals with the literal, visible second coming of Jesus Christ. However, we have been told that Jesus is not going to literally or visibly come in his second coming by the majority of religions that exist today in the earth as Christians. We are talking about the evangelical religions. The evangelical religions tells us that there is to be what they call a secret rapture, and that Christ is going to come in secret, and that other people will be left behind. And from that, various movies have been made by the name of Left Behind. In fact, there is a major movie that is to come out soon, and the name of it is Left Behind. This tells us, in theory, that people will suddenly just disappear from the earth, and their clothes will remain on the ground, and nobody will know where they are gone, but they will be just vanishing in front of people like this. So if one is a pilot and he's flying an airplane, and suddenly he vanishes, the plane will crash and people in it will die. If one is driving a motor car and suddenly this rapture happens, and he vanishes from this car, the car will careen out of control and crash. And so with many other people doing professions. If you're on an assembly line and you have to move a certain product, that it would not catch up with other products on the same assembly line, and suddenly you are raptured, as they call it, or taken up, then you find that product will accumulate on your part of the assembly line because you're no longer there. So, some children will find their parents missing, some parents will find their children missing, some husband will find their wives missing, and vice versa. But it will happen all over the earth, that's what we are told. And that's what they call a secret rapture. Now, when you ask them, where do they get that teaching from? Where have the evangelicals get that teaching from? They tell you they get it from the Bible. So we want to look and see the two major scriptures they use to claim a secret coming, a secret rapture of Jesus Christ upon the face of this earth. In fact, the very word rapture that is used by these religions is wrong, because rapture means to be caught up in a joyous feeling, but they take the word rapture to mean caught up to Christ. So the word rapture itself isn't even in the Bible, much more secret rapture. It would be better for us to say second coming of Jesus Christ. But his second coming is not a secret, will not be a secret. And this is the reason why we want you to look at this whole issue squarely and see the mistakes that are being used. So, if you ask an evangelical, where do you get this secret rapture from? Could you show me it in the Bible? He will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and he would read verse 17 for you. And when he reads verse 17, it is how he reads it that he's going to use to make you think it is speaking about a secret rapture. Now, he tells you first that a rapture means to be caught up to God. But it is a secret catching up. Nobody knows. You're just caught up and you're before God. And then he quotes verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which I'm doing now. I quote, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." End of quote. Did you see that? Now, this is the one he tells you is proof of a secret rapture. We are caught up in heaven. So he's telling you, what does caught up in heaven mean? And he gives you the impression, look, a person is walking and suddenly they're caught up in heaven. He disassociates this being caught up in heaven from other events that could prove a literal, visible second coming of Jesus Christ. And it is just how he says it that makes you think that you're just going about your ordinary life and suddenly you're caught up. And he uses the term caught up to mean a disappearing, a caught up in heaven where you disappeared. This is one of the scriptures that is used by people who are claiming a secret rapture. And this speaker here, his first experience with meeting the secret rapture doctrine when he became a Christian, this scripture itself was used. And over the years, it is this same scripture that people have used to try to prove what they call a secret rapture. Another scripture they use is found in Matthew chapter 24, and it is verse 37 to verse 42. Matthew 24, 37 to 42. Now let's read. Here is what we are told. This is another scripture they use. I quote, "But as in the days of Noah were, so shall the coming also of the Son of Man be." Did you get that? Now it continues, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So we are being told people would know. Look, they would know. That's how Christ is coming. People would know. And it goes on. "Then shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left." And then we are told, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." End of quote. And this is the scripture that is used to tell us about a secret coming. So they give us the impression that somebody is in the field and suddenly, they disappear. They are caught up. And that nobody knows. Now, how they read this is what they use to teach a secret rapture. Yes, my dear people. And this they teach despite the fact that Jesus said there will be no secret coming with regards to him. But they use this scripture also to claim that it is a secret coming. The world would know. All of a sudden, people will just disappear. Like two in the field, and one will just disappear. and they give the impression the taken means they disappear. This is how they teach a secret rapture from the Bible, and that's what they use to claim there will be a secret rapture. But lo and behold, my dear people, if you ask them, are you telling me that the church that has ever taught the second coming of Christ taught a secret rapture? The answer is to that question, no. That doctrine only surfaced in 1830. A doctrine of a secret rapture surfaced. But what we would like to do, we would like to show you from the Bible and from history where this doctrine of this secret rapture came from. Another important point is, they call it a pre-tribulation rapture, which means a tribulation is to come upon the face of the earth, horrible, horrible things that are come upon the face of the earth, and before it comes, the church is taken up, or disappeared, or caught up. And that's what they call a rapture. So they are looking for a situation where the church is caught up, or raptured up, as they say, and then afterwards, a 7 years of tribulation comes. So usually, their teaching is called a pre-trib rapture, or a pre-tribulation rapture, from the word tribulation, which is a whole host of trouble coming upon the face of the earth. But even the word tribulation there in Matthew is used the wrong way by those people. So we want to correct those teachings and show you why they're wrong, why they overlook the fact that Jesus said there should be no secret coming. In fact, this teaching surfaced in Scotland from a young girl, 15 years old, by the name of Margaret MacDonald. She was not a healthy girl. She had certain bodily defects. And she claimed to have a vision one night. And what was her vision? That Christ would have a secret coming. And this secret coming doctrine from this Margaret MacDonald, this vision was written out. This vision was told to a church in Scotland that was very influential. And this church, run by another man by the name of Edward Irving, this church accepted that doctrine. And it is from this church that another man, John Nelson Darby, got this teaching, and it was John Nelson Darby that spread this rapture teaching all over the world. Now we will quote actual documents to show it to you. We will quote the teachings, we will quote the vision of MacDonald, and we will show you where this teaching came from. But we want to look at some very important scriptures here. Scriptures that will help us to see the error of a teaching like this. Number one, here is what Jesus warned us all about. In Matthew 24, we look at 22 to 26. I quote, Jesus speaking, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Did you see that? So Christ is telling us we are not to believe in a claim of a secret coming. How do we know that? Because the next verse tells us, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east," that is verse 27, "and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." End of quote. Did you see that? So Jesus warned us about people teaching a secret coming. Some people will come and say, they are Christ, come on the earth already. They will do great wonders. They will do great signs. The very elect of God would be prone to be deceived by these wonderful signs and wonders and miracles that are done. But God said this, while it may be possible to deceive the elect, He's clearly telling us, do not go forth, because it is not Jesus Christ. He is not going to come in any secret chamber. It's not going to be a secret coming. Because when the lightning shines in the east and you see it unto the west, that is what we call a heavenly display that people far and wide can see. And this is clear proof that Christ is to have a literal, visible second coming. Yes, my dear people. So He actually warned about a secret coming. This is an actual warning about a secret coming. And if you look at what Mark tells us in Mark 13:21, again we read, it says, and if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, He is there, believe Him not. Did you see that? So we are warned, we are not to believe in a false Christ. We are not to believe in a situation where there's a secret coming and a person will end up saying, well, no, look, He's in the desert. Well, no, He's in the secret chamber. Well, no, nobody knows where He comes. He's just in the air. We are told not to believe that. We are to look for a literal, visible second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is what your Bible tells you here. So this idea of a secret coming is not true. But not just only that. They tell us that this secret coming happens before the tribulation. That's what they tell us. It happens before what they call a tribulation, which means a whole set of terrible things are taking place upon the face of the earth. And this only happens after the church is caught up. That's what they tell us. But it is not true. Because if you read again, Mark chapter 13, and we read from verse 21, but we go down a little more to verse 26, here is what we are told. I quote from verse 21. And if any shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, He is there, believe Him not. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days, after that tribulation, notice what we're being told here, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Now, did you see that? So you have a tribulation taking place. And we are told after that tribulation, here is what is to happen. The sun darkens, so the sun doesn't shine for a period. The moon shall not give her light for a period. The stars fall from the heaven. The very heavens will be shaken. And then what happens? Verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. End of quote. Did you see that? So we see the coming of Christ takes place after the tribulation. So the tribulation must happen first. And after that tribulation happens, then you have a dark day where the sun doesn't shine. And then the moon doesn't shine the night after, which means it would have been full moon the day before, on the night before. And then we have the stars falling from heaven, which is terrible meteoric showers falling upon the face of the earth. And then we have the powers of heaven being shaken, which is what we call commotion taking place in the very atmosphere of the earth. And after that, then Christ will be seen coming in the clouds with power and glory. Yes, my dear people. So with power means there's a lot of powerful display, and there's a lot of bright Shekinah glory, brighter than the sun, shining. And after he comes there and all this is seen, what happens? Exactly what happens? The Bible clearly tells us, verse 27. Notice this. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Did you see that? So all over the earth, angels are going to come and gather the elect, which would mean the resurrection would take place with angels there. When you are resurrected, if you die, and you die as a Christian, the first being you're going to meet is your angel. Your angel is going to be there. And that is what the Bible is telling you. He will send his angels to gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, under the heaven. So what does this tell us? This tells us that the saints are only caught up after the tribulation, after these commotions take place in heaven, not before. But they're telling us it is before. That's why they call it a pre-tribulation rapture. How could they be so wrong? How could they be so misled? How could evangelicals believe something that is so false? And then take the plain, straightforward scripture, break it up, select certain verses, and claim that they are preaching the truth. That whole doctrine of a secret rapture has to be thrown out, because there is no authority for it in the Bible. The only authority is a sick 15-year-old girl who claimed she had a vision. And that's where that doctrine came from. But look, you have seen very clearly here, there is no proof of it. The scriptures they use to prove a secret rapture, if you read those scriptures and you read the other verses that surround it, you would see it is not speaking about a secret rapture. Let us go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we will look at verse 17 again, which they used to try to prove a secret rapture. Verse 17 tells us, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." End of quote. Did you see that? This is what they used to prove a secret rapture, the caught up, which they call rapture. But notice the context of the verse. "Then we which are alive and remain." Did you see it? It means certain people are alive and remain. So it means while the dead is being resurrected, there are saints alive on the earth who remain. So if they are alive and remain, what happened to the other teeming billions that were not saints? They're dead. What caused them to die? Great catastrophic and cataclysmic events that would take place on the earth, like the powers of the heavens shaking and other stuff, would cause them to die. So those who are alive and remain, that will come with the dead being caught up to Jesus Christ, those are living saints. And the rest that are dead are those who died from the time of Abel, coming on to the last saint that would be dead. And we're told they will all be caught up together. But notice they are alive and remain. Why? Because something terrible happened. Why you have those saints being alive and remaining? So when people come and tell you that, oh, The Bible tells you there's a secret rapture. The very verse they use shows it is not so. So let us read a little more surrounding that verse. But if you were to ask yourself, what big cataclysmic events that is going to cause only some people to be alive and remain? What is those cataclysmic events? You can find it in Psalms 46. Psalms 46 show it. And Psalm 46 also show that the church will be preserved alive. The church that is alive on the earth, when those cataclysmic events, global cataclysmic events take place, the church is going to be preserved alive. Let's read Psalms. And let us look at it in Psalm 46. Before we deal with Thessalonians. Psalm 46, we are told from verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Notice, he is help in trouble. It goes on. Therefore, we will not fear. Who is we? The Christians. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Did you see what's going on here? The earth being removed, the mountains being carried in the midst of the sea. This is a global earthquake such as was never upon the face of this earth. It causes mountain chains to break off and to fall into the sea. It causes the earth to move and shake all over. And when the earth shakes like that, just the force of the shaking pitches people left, right, and center and causes deaths by the millions. But it continues. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Selah means take note. So notice the waters will roar. What does this mean? We will have tidal waves about 1,000 feet high as mountains fall into the sea, as islands begin to sink. Tidal waves will roar all over the earth, killing people by the millions. And this will happen through the heaving and swelling of the earth. That's where the rest of people die. But this is just part. But that's where the people die. The people die through these cataclysmic events. So then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with those who are dead and resurrected. That's the story. That's how it happens. But for these cataclysmic events to take place, people have to know that Jesus Christ is coming. That's why he gave us signs of his soon coming, for the world to know that people will be accepting him and prepare for those horrible cataclysmic events that is going to take place. You see, signs are foreshadows of those events coming. And yet, look at how the evangelicals just pulled this verse out, remove it from its native context, and give us the impression of some secret catching up. When the context shows that cataclysmic events take place that let people know that Jesus Christ, hey, is right up there coming down now. And this is the reason why we tell you, you have to forget what pastors tell you. You have to forget what they learn in the theological seminary. You have to forget what your religion teach you. And you have to learn from your Bible. You have to be a Bible learner. You have to take your Bible and study your Bible. When you do that individually, he, the Spirit of Truth, will guide you into all truth. And he will not tell you about a secret coming. Nowhere can that be found in the Bible. You're not supposed to be followers of Margaret MacDonald. You're supposed to be followers of Yahweh himself. And he tells you there is no secret coming. When you learn this, you learn to turn away from those false doctrines and to follow the truth. Now we will have to continue this study because we have only just begun. But we want you to know these facts because we want you to be saved. And until then, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ teach you the truth and make you flee from false doctrine before it is too late. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Read broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
How shall we stand in the great day? How shall we stand in the great day? Shall we be found?